Hebrews chapter 7. How many enjoyed Dave Beebe when he was here? Pretty cool dude. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 7, and let's go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we now enter into your presence concerning your word. Father, these are words that were inspired by the Holy Ghost and spoken from the lips of men, as you have spoken to the heart of men. In Logos, we have received the rhema of your Logos through men. Father, I thank you for the legacy that you have left us. And today, Father, may the ears of the hearers be enlightened to hear. May the lips of the speaker speak truth, honor, and integrity. And between the two, Father, may much be accomplished in the hearts of the ears of the hearer today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, this morning what we're going to cover is the pollution of giving. The pollution of giving. Remember I shared with you that the Lord was going to give me instructions of what to share with you every Sunday that morning. This morning he woke me up at 4. I kind of wish he'd have waited till 4:30. But he doesn't prefer to be a snooze alarm for me. And so he woke me up at 4 and he began to speak to me and lay out what he wanted me to share with you again this morning. And he brought back to my remembrance about covering the issue of the pollution of the tithe. And you know, the reason I'm sharing the issues of money with you is because the Bible's very clear that money answereth all things. Just this bunch in front's the only one that agrees with that. Money is an important subject when it comes to the concerns for the kingdom of God, because without it, we couldn't run. And I'm not talking about literally running. I'm talking about running in life, you know. Praise God. So you do need an income. How many of you could survive without an income? You wouldn't last very long. Praise God. I would really have a sorrowful feeling for you to find out that you have been carted out to your front yard with your possessions, you know, out on the lawn because they had to repo your house. And so we know that money is an important aspect, but we also know that there's a pollution that is going through the body of Christ today that's very sad, because it's kind of like when the Holy Ghost, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost began. Well, what had happened was people went to the extremes emotionally on spiritualism, so to speak. And so we had what we call idiots. Idiots moving and shocking people that was not used to a real charismatic type of appearance. And of course, the real charismatic type of people wasn't too sensitive to those that were not well aware of what the move of God was all about. What I thought was very interesting, several months after our church had started, we'd pray for people and they'd go out under the power. And finally, this one lady came up and she said, "Now, I'm not receiving." And I said, "You're not." She says, "No." And I said, what aren't you receiving?" She said, "I'm not receiving my healing." And I said, "Well, do you have any idea why?" She says, "I think I do." And I says, "Well, what is that?" She says, "I think I need to fall down." And I says, "You mean to tell me if you fall down, you think you're going to receive?" She says, "Yeah, I see everybody else falling down. And they seem to be getting theirs. Maybe the reason I'm not getting mine is I'm not falling down." That is not how you get a healing, because you fall down, you know. And so people have a tendency to think strange things and then confuse other people in their strangeness. God is a God of order. Now, that's not excluding the fact that God can move through our midst in a Sunday morning service and we all go nuts. you know. But all of us are probably pretty well there. Maybe we might shock a couple, you know. But we can't stop a move of God, because there's a side of God that wants to personally minister to us without pastor up here preaching another sermon. And, you know, sometimes you just go out under the power of God. Sometimes in praise and worship, if people get freer in praise and worship, like that one song, I feel like dancing, all of us are sitting there like this. Well, that's a dancing song. It's all right to dance. It's all right to have a freedom to dance. It's a part of your worship. You know, and I think a lot of times people misconstrued what Kenneth Hagin was trying to say about dancing. He was coming from the viewpoint of hiring dancers to come on into the congregation to ignite others to dance. Well, that's crazy. Dancing before the Lord is a heart issue. You got to be willing to do it because you want to dance before the Lord, you know. And usually the anointing will pass through the whole congregation to do that, and it's all right to do that if the whole anointing is touching everybody. If it just cut touching one or two, then there's something wrong, you know, because the one or two are not flowing with the anointing as a whole. Are you following me? Now, I've noticed one or two can spark others to do the same thing. In example, are you following what I'm saying? Why did I bring it all issue up? Well, because when it comes to the pollution of the tithe, the giving today, the church itself, the priests, and the itinerants, they polluted it. It has brought a discouragement to people in giving to the kingdom of God. Just like it would bring a discouragement to those who don't want to be so loud and crazy and boisterous, you know. There was always an example that turned a lot of people off that was not a good example before the Lord. Am I making sense to you here? Well, it comes down to the issue of money. And to be quite frank with you, I've had people give me testimonies. Well, I attended a church where they had these boxes in the back. And so all the people gave and all their needs were met, you know. And, well, isn't that sweet? But to me, when it comes to the issue of money, if the right heart is being taught behind it, then why are we embarrassed to stick giving in the back of the church rather than doing the example of what they did in the Old Testament when they came to give to God? You know, why can't we rejoice before the Lord? Why can't we go before the altar and lift up the hands to ratify a covenant and say, "Blessed be God, I've got to give. Because God has blessed me, therefore, I want to thank the Lord in the sanctuary of the temple and let everybody know how wonderful God is on my life." To spurge others. But pastor, I thought we weren't to give to be seen of men. Well, let me explain that. First of all, let's cover Hebrews 7 here a little bit. And then we're going to get into the polluting of the tithe. We covered the fact that Abraham blessed Melchizedek because he was a type of Christ. Now, you've got to remember that when he gets down to this, "And verily," verse 5 of Hebrews 7, "and verily they that are the sons of Levi who received the office of the priesthood." Now, how many of you have received the office of a priesthood? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, then all of you are not kings and priests. Yes, you are. Every one of you are kings and priests before the Lord. You have received the office of a priesthood. Now, notice what he says here. The office of the priesthood had a commandment to take tithes of the people, notice this, according to the law. Now, what type of priest is he referring to here? The Levitical priesthood. Now, follow me very closely, or you could miss this. They had a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. That is, of their brethren, though they came or come out of the loins of Abraham. That is an important statement right there. Because he's telling us where the Levites came from. They came from the loins of Abraham. Now watch this. "But he whose descendant is not counted from them," from who? From who? "But he who is not counted from them." Would that not be Melchizedek? Now notice what he says here about Melchizedek. Melchizedek, are you ready? Is not counted as coming from the Jewish nation. At least as far as we know, because it doesn't give us any history of where he came from. Now notice this. From them, now notice, received tithes of Abraham. Who? Melchizedek received tithes of Abraham. And blessed him that had the promises. And blessed him that had the promises. Who? Melchizedek blessed Abraham that had the promises. Now follow me real close, because this is going to put a little different light on something here. And without all contradiction, this is a very important phrase. It means this is a complete absoluteness. A complete absoluteness. There is nothing that would ever contradict this. There is nothing that would ever contradict this. Here it is. The less is blessed to the better. Well, who would the less be in this text? Would it not be Abraham? Who is the better in this text? Would it not be Melchizedek? Now notice what happens here. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. What caught my attention this morning is the Lord brought me to this verse and told me to read it out of the founding language, which is the Greek. And I noticed that in this verse, some of these words are italicized. And so I went to the Greek and I was a little shocked. I hadn't realized what was being said there. Because I was quoting from a Bible teacher that I assumed would be proper in his analogy. And I realized that I need to be careful about what I hear, because sometimes some things could be given to me that's wrong. And here's what he's talking about. But there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. That's not the way it is in the language that it was founded in. Matter of fact, in the Greek it's worded a little differently. And here's how it's worded in the Greek without going into each word. But it says, here men that die receive tithes. Who is the men that die that receives the tithes? The what?
Priesthood.
The priesthood. Here, mortal man, when he said that die, meaning mortal man, which is the priesthood, received the tithe. The priesthood received the tithe. And here is the paraphrasing of the Greek there. That they are bearing witness of the one who lives forever.
Amen.
Did you get that? Amen. See, I looked at that verse as saying, when you give, Jesus is bearing witness to your giving. Do you know what? That's obvious.
Absolutely.
But what he's saying, the reason that the priesthood, the established priesthood, received the tithe, are you ready? Is because the priest represents the one who lives forever. And so that the reason they give of their tithes is predicated totally on the basis that they are giving into something that has substance to it, that is in existence today, and his name is Jesus. Now he gives us a very interesting thing here. Watch this real closely. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And who is he talking about? He's talking about when Melchizedek met Abraham. Now the issue here is the Levites, the designated priesthood, was commanded by law to see to it that the tithe was given. Now follow me real close in this. This is really powerful. Look at this. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes, notice this, in Abraham. Watch this. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore, verse 11 is what really lit up to me. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek? And you all know that that would be Jesus that he's referring to there. Now notice this. And not be called after the order of Aaron. That threw me off. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. This is a question mark here. He was saying, if the Levites were commanded to pay tithes after they received the tithe of the people, then how come then the issue of Aaron is brought up? Now notice, the Levites paid tithes. Are you ready? In the Greek. Are you ready? In the Greek said, while they were in the loins of Abraham. Are you ready? In the Greek it says, in the loins of Abraham, they were tithing. That's what it says in the Greek. It says, in the loins of Abraham, when Abraham gave his tenth to Melchizedek, it said, in the loins of Abraham, the Levites were also tithing. They were tithers. And I said, why in the world did you even bring that up? Why? Well, how many of you know in the Old Testament, they were commanded by law? Everything came by law. You know what, New Testament? It is not by law, it's by nature. Who fathered you in the new birth? Who fathered you? Who conceived in your spirit? Not Jesus. The Father. It says in 1 John, the whole emphasis, the whole uniqueness of 1 John is koinonia, communion with each other and the Lord. Are you following me? And it's all out of that life and nature. He says the reason the guy cannot continue in sinning against his neighbor and God is the fact that he has the life of God, the sperma of God living in him. The life and nature of God in him. Can I hear an amen? I want you to get this real careful. If that's the case, why did he even bring up the issue of Aaron? Go over to Numbers. Go over to Numbers. I told you that God's going to put you under an anointing that will work for your life. And he can't do that as long as television, as long as pastors and other people are polluting the people's ability to understand how to give to God. You can't get under the wrong anointing and expect it to work for you. And Satan loves ministers to pervert the anointing of giving into the kingdom of God. And we're going to mention the issues of the perversion in just a second. But I want to establish something in Numbers 18. And I want you to notice how this is worded. Verse 23. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. In other words, they will deal with the issue of sin in the nation, the congregation. And it shall be a status forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel, they have no inheritance. In other words, the priests were not given an inheritance. They were given the temple. Are you following me? They were given the house of God that was erected physically at that time. Now notice this. But the tithe of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore have I said I unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which have given you, from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer an heave offering of it to the Lord, even a tenth part of it, part of the tithe. And this is your heave offering, and it shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. I never understood what that meant, and it finally dawned on me what he was saying. Are you ready? What he was saying is that the Levitical priesthood, the Levites, they were assigned to the temple. They had no inheritance to the land, so therefore they couldn't labor the land for their money. It had to come from the people. And it said that when they received the tithe of the people, they in turn would turn and tithe out of that tithe. And guess what God said? He said, as long as they follow through to that suit, it would be as though they were out there working the ground themselves. Right. And bringing it into the storehouse, God would call the Levites or the priests co-equal with the laborers that bring the money. Okay? Now follow me. Because when we get this established, the tithe and the offer, going into stewardship, and that's where we're all going to be ouched. Now you ready? Notice what he goes on to say. Thus ye also shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which ye receive of the children of Israel. He's talking about the priests. And ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Now in Hebrews chapter 7, we had found this one thing out. What did we find out? That if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, then where does Aaron come in to play? Well, we find that the Levites, when they receive a tenth of the income of the congregation, they in turn would give a tenth of what they inherited, but their tenth would go to Aaron, which Aaron was the high priest. The high priest. Oh, people, I got news for you. New Testament, Aaron's done away with. Jesus is our high priest. Aaron's done away with. Jesus. And here's why he capitalized on how great of an honor it was for Abraham to give a tenth to Melchizedek, because it was like unto what a great honor it is for you to give a tenth of your income to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not to Aaron, the high priest, but unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I want you to notice something here. Out of all your gifts, you shall offer every heave offering of the Lord, of all the best there is. Some Christians believe in doggy baggies. But the best thereof, even the hollow part thereof, out of it. Now follow me real closely. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when ye have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the winepress. And ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now what's he telling the priests? He's telling the priests that you will take the best of the people's giving and put it into your own house. A priest. I can't stand that pastor. Why? Have you seen the car he drives? Have you seen the house that he lived in? You know what kind of heart that is? A stingy heart for God. Now, should a minister live well when he knows that the majority of his congregation is poor? I don't believe that he should. I believe that he should keep in proportion to his congregation. But I believe that he should lead his congregation out of poverty into wealth so he himself can be elevated to a greater place of living. It's a hard issue, people, when it comes to money. It'll never change. Now watch this. Watch this. This is going to be heavy. He says, you'll take the best of the tithe, you priests, and you'll bring it to your home, and you'll eat of it. Now notice what he said. And ye shall bear no sin. Now, what in the world is he talking? You shall bear no sin by reason of it when you have heaved from it the best of it. He's telling them, he's telling the priest, it is not a sin for the priest to eat the best of it. But he goes and says, neither shall you pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest you die. You know, people really, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. What does he mean, neither shall you pollute the giving of the people? Well, there's three areas that pollutes giving. Three areas that pollutes your giving. Number one is for those who receive the tithing issue. Do you know there's a portion of the body of Christ that believes in tithing? There's a portion that doesn't believe in it. And then there's a portion of the body of Christ that somehow the priests think that they're Almighty God. Now, number one, for those who receive the understanding of the tithe, here's how they pollute it. They teach people that it's all right to give for personal, self-centered reason. They teach the people that it's all right to give for a personal, self-centered reason. Number two, they are teaching God's people today that you can buy something you need from God. And number three, they teach people how to give out of fear. You are cursed with a curse. They teach people how to give out of fear. That kind of mind, people, does not have an understanding of how to give from the issues of a man's heart. Are you ready? You know when the nation of Israel exodused out of Egypt? You know when God approached them? Are you aware in the book of Exodus, are you aware that the tithe was not the issue to build the temple? It was the offering. Why was the offering the issue and not the tithe to build the temple? Because the tithe is maintenance of the storehouse, where an offering is what builds the house, the physical house. It's an offering. People say, well, I can give my offering anywhere you want. That's true. You can. That's what it's designed for. But you got to make sure your own house is taken care of first before you give to another house. Some people say, oh, we're getting ahead of myself. Now, follow me. The priest today, if you're not careful, they'll teach you how to give out of fear. And number four, they teach you never to give to be seen of men. I'm going to change that a little bit because I have scripture on it. I want to change it this way. They really, when they say never give to be seen of men, then why in the world, when it came to giving, whenever the nation of Israel backslid, they commanded the people, first of all, to bring their tithes back into the temple and be an example unto the whole nation of worshiping God with it. If you're to give and not be seen of men, then I understand where we're coming from when we say that. You don't do it to get the approval of men in that sense. Are you following what I'm saying? We never do anything to get the approval or acceptance of men. But listen, my Bible tells me in three different places in my New Testament, not Old Testament. I got tons in Old Testament. But in the New Testament, there are three places where Paul himself admonished those, and he told who gave what for examples to encourage others to do the same thing. So we never give for man's approval or acceptance, but you should give for example. And number six, they teach you the demonic spirit in this one. They actually teach you how you can give for control, such as big givers in a church. I've seen them where these big givers let the pastor know how much they deposit in their church because they didn't agree with some of the decisions he made. If he didn't make the right decision, he's out of there, Jack. Well, his big giving stinks in the nostrils of God. He's not blessed of God. He's blessed of energy of his own flesh. But as soon as the sun has risen, his kingdom will get burned down. You can't control God's house. I had a man sit in my office and sit there and made a decision to leave my church. And he looked at me and says, "And to think of all the money that I poured into this church." I went into shock. You never, ever give to control a church. Right. Never, ever. You give to the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Over now.
Amen. Right on.
And you know what? When he said that, I just wanted to just, when he was going out my door, I just wanted to kick him right in the butt. Couldn't hardly wait to get rid of the guy. Because he did nothing but just cause division in the whole church. Well, his heart was warped. What? I almost said, I had to hold back. I almost said, "Then what was your purpose of giving to me? So that I would wake up and see how much money you were given, so I would be tender to you and coddle you and treat you nice?" No, he was given out of control. He wanted to exalt himself in my eyes for greater leverage. And pastors are under pressure. We'll let that happen to him. Now, for those who reject the tithe, the little statements that pollute their giving. I had a man come in here and I just took up an offering. Man, he wrote us a letter. He just came on glue. I think maybe he might even call. Remember this guy? He would just went rabbit. We were into money and we were just money grubbers and everything. Well, that guy's out of it. He has a problem with giving to God. Here it is. Here's those who reject the tithe. The tithe no longer is in effect. The tithe is Old Testament only. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. The tithe is Old Testament only. I almost thought that myself. Until I saw this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's go to verse 6. "Now these things were our example to the intent we should not desire after evil things as they also desired." You mean to tell me that the Old Testament men and women did things that we no longer have to look to as any example? I went back and I looked at them as an example. When the nation of Israel was in fellowship with God, that nation was blessed. When they got out of fellowship, that nation was cursed. You know what I thought was very interesting? For those of you that like to blame the pastors for things not getting done in the church financially. Are you ready? I noticed that when they broke fellowship, the priesthood no longer functioned in the temple. But did you know what? When God chose a prophet to go to the temple, he corrected the Levites for abandoning their posts, but he blamed the congregation for the reproach they put on the house of God by not giving. He didn't blame the priest directly for the low income. He blamed the reproach of the congregation. See, all as the priest did is they brought a reproach to the temple, and the people then quit giving.
Right.
It always starts at the head anyway. But listen, God held the congregation responsible for the issue of the money. Oh man, we're going to get into Haggai, and you ain't going to like that book. Now notice this, for those who reject the tithe. "I give as the Lord leads. I'm not bound by tithing. I only give unto good ground." How are you going to tell what is good ground and what isn't? Men are such liars. You know what? You give into God. That's good ground. God will lead me to tithe if He wants me to. It's funny, these people never feel led of the Lord to tithe. Here's another one. I only give where God leads me to give. Trouble is, I never find any place. Now, you ready? The tithe belongs to a local assembly. The offering belongs either to a local assembly or the universal body of Christ. And I got proof on it. I got biblical proof. Now, what about those priests who pervert God's giving? How do they pollute the giving? Oh, you get a hundredfold return on your giving. That's a ploy to get you to give them money. That's a ploy. The Bible doesn't back a hundredfold return. The Bible says that you get a hundredfold return on the Word of God that you invest in your life. Because when you give into the priesthood, they bless you back with the fullness of the Word of God. Listen, you want the fullness of the Word of God, so you've got something to give. It's God's Word that promotes you. Now here's another one. If I don't give, you're a God robber. That goes back with those who receive the tithe, but they're manipulated by people through fear. If you want things, name your seed. If you want things, name your seed. People, you know what that's called? Craziness. I've never named my seed. Why? Because I've never needed just one thing. I've needed everything. Here's another one. You're not healed because you don't give. If you give, God will save your loved ones. You don't buy salvation for your loved ones. You believe for them.
Amen.
Here's another one. God only pours out the blessing on the offering, not the tithe. You know, that really boggles me. I had an argument with a minister that preached that from my pulpit. We got up in my office, and he never came back. We got into it. And it was because he didn't stop to really think from the perspective of what he was saying. Are you ready? He said that God will not open the windows of heaven until you get into the offering, which diminished the tithe. Yeah. Well, my head blocked up because this is what I said to him. I said, and where does the tithe come from? And what are you? Well, he was claiming he was now being a pastor. He said, well, I'm a pastor. And I said, well, are you over a storehouse? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, if that's the case, then what are you to your people until they get to the offering? Evidently, you're not a blessing. Here's another thing I hit him with. I said, where does the tithe come from? He said, what do you mean? I said, exactly what I said. Where does the tithe come from? Have any of you figured that one out? Where does the tithe come from? Can anybody tell me where the tithe comes from? How many of you, and I'm not asking for, maybe I better not ask for hands, but how many of you might agree with me that quite a few of you, I know this for a fact, are not giving or not tithing in this body. Now, let me ask you something. If you're not giving and you're not tithing, are you cursed? Well, then, where would you start so you could tithe? Well, in the New Testament, when you get into 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, God gives you an answer through Paul where you start. You start with what you have.
Right.
You don't start with a tithe, you start with what you have. So consequently, when you get to the place of the tithe, many of you that are not at the tithe now have a desire to be at the tithe. I hope you'd have that desire, unless you believe it's done away. Are you ready? I ask you this question. Where does the tithe come from? Huh? Well, it comes from the first fruits, but listen, first fruits of what?
The labor of your hands.
The labor of your hands, I know that, but the first fruits of what? If you get a check for $100 and you give $10, why are you able to give $10? Because somehow you got a $100 bill. What is a $100 bill? A blessing of the Lord. And that's what I was trying to get across to him. Where does the tide come from? We just come up with the tide? It's just a figment of our imagination? No, in order for you to give a tenth, you got to have a tenth to give. Well, in order for you to have a tenth to give, you got to have 100% for the tithe to match the tenth. Duh. One brother said, can you imagine God, if you believed in the tithe, can you imagine God having, if you're believing for $1 million, God would have to give you 90 million for you to give the million. And I thought, he's right, that's crazy. Why would God give me 90 million just to get a million in his hands? And God spoke to me one day and said, blessing. What was that? Blessing. He said, I would love your $1 million. And I would love to see to it you got 90 million to give me the million. He said, why? Because if you have 90 million anyway, you're offering bound. I don't know about you guys, but I sure wouldn't be struggling with giving an offering if God got 90 million to give him a million. We can't think like that. Why? Because, that is the wrong heart. Do you know you could take $1 million and put it in a bank and live off the interest after you paid everything else off? So what would you do the religious do? I know what a lot of you do. You be a giving as givers to the giving of the giving beyond. The tithe and offering wouldn't even be an issue to you. Hello, congregation. The problem is we've had, again, like I started this message, the problem is we've had too many examples of the wrong heart polluting our giving. So we don't want to go to this area thinking that God is looking to really bless me. If that was the case, then I would be very careful about the issue of money in my church. I would hide it. I wouldn't want you to know what it's about. Why? Because I wouldn't want to turn you off. Well, I know pastors will do that. They'll make you feel so judged for you not giving and live out of luxury at your expense. And not open up your heart for that anointing to fall on you. I'm blessed when you're blessed. I'm cursed when you're cursed. Now, he said he would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing we couldn't contain. He says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. In the Old Testament, God dealt with the devil. In the New Testament, devil's dealt with. What do you mean? God ain't going to rebuke the devil. You have to. Why? Because Jesus done dethroned him. He's a defeated foe. The only way that his strength can operate in your life is through deception. You have to hand him your authority. And I'm going to tell you, when you're dealing with the devil in the area of money, you're dealing with a master that polluted the third heaven with his wisdom. If you think that as much as he's been around, if you think that he can't force you into stupidity when it comes to money, you got another guest coming. That guy knows how to deal with the issues of money in the hearts of men. Well, then, Matthew, I can't tell you. Where do I start? Oh, you ready to close this sermon with a blessing? You ready to close it? Look at this. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Oh, I love this. 2 Corinthians. Anytime any form of doctrine goes out across the pulpit to where they grab a hold of your wallet by bypassing your heart, that is wrong doctrine. God has to go through your heart to extract your wallet. That's the only way he'll do it. You want to know why I know? Because when they exodus out of the nation, he exodus Israel out, he said, I want you to build my temple out of a willing heart to receive from my people what is necessary for me to build that tabernacle in the wilderness. He didn't say tithe there. He said an offering. Now here's what it says. Well, Pastor, if I ain't got it, where do I start? Well, here's where you start. But this I say, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Let's go to 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. This is where Paul sent some men to collect for the poor at Jerusalem. The poor you always have with you. You know. Verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Notice this. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know what the words for here is? Let me read it to you out of the Greek. And he which soweth to bless, soweth to bless, shall reap also blessings. Shall reap also blessings. Watch this. Every man according as he purposed in his heart. Boy, the ministry today has really violated this. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And that's what ministers are teaching today. How to give out of necessity. You know what that means, how to give out of necessity? It means out of distress, anxiety, imposed by an external circumstance. And I know pastors are preaching that necessity on you for their wallet. Are you ready? Notice this. Grudgingly, it means to grumble and murmur. You just flat don't want to depart from your money, but somebody is twisting your arm to make you do it. There's where the perverted doctrines have gotten into our church. We got to get it out of our giving. There should be a joy to giving. There should be a joy to giving. Now watch this. And God is able, oh I love this, to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Let me read this to you out of the Amplified. And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always, and under all circumstances, and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. As it is written, he, the beloved person, scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for the eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. Faith without works is dead. Man, when I read that, I got on my knees. And I said, God, give me scripture. Give me scripture that I need to stand on. And you know what scripture he gave me? He said, if you will confess your sins, I am faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I said, do we stop there? And he says, no. He says, for you have listened to the advocacy of my Lord. Boy, I did some repenting. And now I get up every morning and I say, for it is he that gives me power to get wealth. Yes. Why? He dealt with my history of sin because he was faithful and just to forgive me. Hallelujah. Well, then, what? And I said, God, you speak to me where I can get my giving perfect. I don't want to do it religiously anymore. It was weird in my mind, the tithe. I was under law of the tithe even. I know if I don't give my tithe, I'm cursed. And yet I knew, I'm not cursed. I give it out of my heart. And God finally revealed to me, He's faithful and just to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He said, now you need to stand up and you need to deal with the devil. Don't ask me to get rid of him. I got rid of him for him, for you 2,000 years ago. You stand up now. He says, you got your heart clean. He says, I don't regard your history anymore. I as long as I got into your conscience and I changed it, he says, now you qualify to ask of me whatever you desire and I'll see to it that you get it. And I said, God, it's so tough because, oh, man, I need it now. I don't know where it's coming from. And Jesus spoke to me again. And he says, here's another scripture you can use. And he took me over to where they approached Jesus, and Jesus had a debt. You know what debt it was? He owed taxes. And you know what he did? He went, oh my gosh. And he turned to Judas Iscariot and said, give me out of the treasure. I got to meet this. You know what he did? I never understood it for years. I understand it now. For my sake, he spoke this to me. For your sake, Jan, I paid my taxes by what you need to understand. That it'll never be by the resources you have in hand. It'll always have to come supernaturally. And I saw a vision of Peter and all the disciples around. And they were challenged that he needed to pay taxes. And Jesus didn't say, I ain't going to pay taxes. Nobody. The IRS stinks. No, he said, render unto Caesar things that belong to him. But render unto God the things that belong to him. And you know what he did? He turned to Peter, and I could hear Peter's wheels turning. I heard him this morning. Peter, I want you to get that fishing pole. I want you to get down there. To that river. I want you to get our tax money. I could see Peter. But we got a treasure here. I could see his wheels turning. We got a treasure here. We'll just dip into that and pay our taxes. And he said, Peter, get the pole. Go down to the river. And I could see Peter with this pole. Not the kind that goes like this. And he's going down because they had what they call these loops on the pole and then the rope or the string and they would jerk it. You know, they didn't have the... Well, let's pretend Peter had the best kind, the eagle view. And so Peter, he's going down to the river and he's going, I don't understand how in the world I'm... The Lord, I think he's kind of flipped. I mean, he's telling me go down there and fish for a fish, and the first one that gets on my pole, I'm to bring him up, and I'm to take the money out of his mouth and pay our taxes. Oh, wow, this is weird. How many of you would think the same thing?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So he goes down and plunk. Floop. Oh my, there's a coin in here. There's a coin. Can you imagine Peter walking back? Pay them tax. Can you imagine how shocked he was? Tell me he wasn't. I know he was shocked. I know you and I would be shocked if some pastor came up to us. Hey, I want you to go down to the river and the first fish you catch, bring me the money. I have debt I want to pay. You know what you guys would do? You wouldn't even do it. First of all, it's me, not Jesus. But you know why he did it that way? To show you and I that when it comes to you having need to sow into the kingdom of God, you don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll see to it that your need is met supernaturally, not by the resources that are at hand. Why else would he do that? It puts you back into your own works. No, everything that Jesus did was always supernatural. To let you and I know that when we're sons and daughters in the kingdom of God, we're not subject to that which is natural. All we have to do is change our heart, get our heart right with God, purpose to be a good investment for the kingdom of God, and do that which is right. It's a hard issue when you give to God. What does it matter whether it's a tenth or it still comes down to if you're born again and you have the life and nature of God in you, then that same life and nature would definitely want to enhance His kingdom. It's just that we got these ministers getting us off of the eye of the altar and putting on the eye of our own house. And that's where we come back next week and we deal with Haggai. Did you guys get something here today? Now, whenever I teach, the reason I take the offering up at the end is because I want to get you under the anointing of the message every time. So that when you're giving into the offering, or the tithes or the offering, you're doing it in understanding a little bit more the purpose for why you're doing it. How many of you would love it if I didn't mention anything about money and put a box in the back there and kept my mouth shut? You know what? God reveals the issue of money for one purpose and one purpose only, so that you will live life more abundantly. Amen. Not so that the church will take your money.
Right.
He has found an avenue to pour the blessing out on you. Jack, don't get mad at me. But I went over to his house. And we went through it, Mike and Dale and John and I and Sue, we were over at their house. And I was walking through that. And the intimate detail of everything. And I marveled at what they did. And it was the first house I ever saw where I enjoyed the labor of their hands. You want to know why? Because Jack and Chris shared with us the burden they were under to do everything in that house. You know why I marveled? They never missed one service in doing that. Not one service. I know people that take a sabbatical, they're gone. Redo a kitchen, redo a house, everything, and they never come back. They disappear. And you know something? When I looked at that house and saw everything in order, that's what's in their heart.
Yep.
Order.
Yep.
Their daughter, Rebecca, is on fire for the things of God. Their children. Wonderful little rooms. I'm going to go visit Jack and Chris more often. They have a 20-foot television set in this studio. Now, they don't watch it much because it's for his job, what he does on his job. But you can put DVD movies in there and watch it. Man, just when it comes on, man, I just see a bunch of wavelengths coming through. But I said, Lord, they're so blessed. And he said, because they've never abandoned me in their spiritual position with me. They never missed a service. Wow. They're living life more abundantly. You ought to see that house. I won't claim it, Jack. That's yours. But you know, it was just like you could see that God was smiling on all that. Because they always kept God in His rightful place. And you know what Haggai says? That the people abandoned the temple to build their own sealed houses. The word for sealed there is a very interesting word. In Hebrew it means paneled. Do you know what a paneled house back in that time meant? It meant something that hardly anybody could afford. And then, I'm getting into next week's sermon, ain't I? They abandoned the house of God so they could build their own house. And God said, this nation has a curse on it. He said, because when my people come to my temple, they need 50 barrels, they only get 10. I'm telling you people, you're the ones that make ministry work, no matter whether you're in this church or any other church. It is up to you, your responsibility, to reach into the recesses of your heart and get a desire to feed the kingdom of God so that you can benefit by it out of the issues of your own life.
Right.
And not because some minister twist your arm.
Yep.
I actually had a person say, come on, twist my arm, twist my arm. I grabbed his arm and I twisted it. He was a pastor, but he was being smart. If you never know where you belong, you'll never invest. I followed the history of people who left here. They were never givers. It's funny, their money went hand in hand with their commitment to the church. Stand up, everybody. Oh, yes. Sit down, everybody. Well, I just get so excited about the Word of God. I know I kept you a long time. But praise God. You know, I'm trying to get you to function with the right heart under the right Redeemer. I want the blessings to flow on you. Boy, the promise that God gave the nation of Israel through Haggai after he corrected them was so powerful. We're going to look at that. It's powerful. Now, you know, today, if you don't have a tithe or an offering, don't let that bother you. But I'm going to tell you something, people. Give something. Give something. Because that is the seed that God's going to multiply.
Hallelujah.
Not your inability to not be able to tithe, but the issue that is in your heart to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. Because that's what He'll multiply. You know, every passage is out of Exodus where they went to gather food. And they were to bring it to the priests. And the priests distributed the food. Some could gather much and some could only gather little. There's almost, quote, verse, that's what Paul uses when it comes to everybody playing their part. So that the ones could only gather little. Because the another one could gather much. His much gathering met his need for his household. But when he overgathered, he would bring it to the other house that would have, so that there was an equality. Did you know that when you don't participate in investing in the kingdom of God, that particular sin in your life literally hinders the entire body of Christ? How do I know that? Well, we're going to get into Jericho, the first city that the nation of Israel took. And God said, that is Kerem unto me. I'm throwing a net over Jericho. No one is to touch that. That was one-tenth of all the wealth of the inhabitants of Canaan. And one family violated that structure and sin passed on the whole camp. And then we want to know why God is down on our case because we're so cursed. Well, it isn't God. Jesus wouldn't have become a curse. You know Achan? He went to the valley of Achor. It's a type of Christ. Jesus died so that the curse would not come on you if you didn't give. Why? Because he knew that when he got you born again and put the life and nature of God in you, it isn't a matter of whether you'll give or not. That nature will compel you to do so. Anybody would like an envelope, raise your hands. The ushers will be glad to give you one. Praise God. Oh, the mercy and love of God. Now listen, here's what we're going to do. Prove me herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not pour you out a blessing. When you get that envelope or the check you're making on the money you're going to give, I want you to take that in your hand. I want you to put it right in your hand. And I want you to take that seed and I want you to say this with me. Everybody got an envelope that they need? Okay. I want you to say this with me. Are you ready? Dear Heavenly Father, I am sowing my heart into your kingdom. And Father, I'm not sowing to get. I'm sowing because I want the kingdom of God blessed. I want the staff at by His Word blessed. I want Pastor blessed. I want John Cook blessed. I want Sue Butler blessed. I want my fellow brother next to me blessed. I want this church to be an example of how prepared it is for revival. In Jesus' name. Pass the bucket. Did you know that whenever a nation of Israel broke out in revival, the first thing that the priests were commanded was to receive the tenth or the tithe of all the people, to carry the revival? I have wonderful staff, and they've labored well under me. But they have labored. They have labored. We've always been struggling. We've always been short. And God says it's because your people have been struggling and they're short. If you get under this anointing and you get the scriptures of God's Word and you take this teaching that I'm giving you and you confess this stuff before God, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to end up blessed. Amen. The Word of God will have free course. Hallelujah. We got so many good things to go in this. It's just incredible. I wish you could preach it all to you at once, but we'd be here 4 hours. Okay, everybody stand up. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. And Father, as we close this service today, we don't want to go insensitive to those that might be visiting us for the first time and have been out of fellowship with You. They haven't been close to You like they should. They haven't been pressing in that fellowship with You, and they'd like to restore their walk with You. And Father, as they are here, we want a chance to pray for them. And Father, if there might be somebody here that has never given their heart and life to Jesus, might know that there's a lack in their heart and they want to become born again and moved into the kingdom of God and into His blessing, then Father, we want to administer that grace to them. And maybe today, Father, there's somebody here not filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in that wonderful spiritual language, tongues. We want to be able to lay hands on them and watch them become baptized with the Holy Ghost. They might have the Spirit and the well of salvation, but they need the baptism for spiritual growth. And then, Father, if there be anybody here that needs physical healing, oh, Father, if they've even come forward before for healing and just seemed to didn't get it, Father, let them come forward this morning. May they receive their healing and keep it in Jesus' name. And so with that altar call, anybody that fits any one of those areas, salvation, restoration, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, physical healing, I want you to step out and come up front. Anybody, feel free to do that. Hallelujah. Yes. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want my altar workers up here. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Praise God. Come over here, Art. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know something? If you want prayer over your finances because of the Word this morning, you also can come up. If you want prayer over your finances, that's an area that you're struggling with, come on up here. Don't be ashamed. Hallelujah. Boy, I need some altar workers up here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Right over here. Praise God. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Don't you be ashamed being up here.
Hallelujah. When you're willing to confess your need before God, God's willing to confess that need before your Father. Oh, glory. Anyone else? You know, there is a wealth that's going to come to the body of Christ. When that anointing flows, you ain't going to stop it. You're not going to stop it. We need to be prepared what God's going to do. Hallelujah. Come here, sweetheart. Okay, in just a moment, I'm going to release you all, and I ask that you exit quietly for them to pray with those that have come forward here. And for those of you that are here for the first time, just visiting, if you would like, we have a hospitality room upstairs. Gather at the coffee bar out there, and we'll see to it that you are escorted upstairs. It's a hospitality room. We have some things we want to share with you. Bless you. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this congregation. May they go in victory this week in Jesus' name. Amen. You're blessed. Yeah, you are blessed.